Hello, welcome to the next episode of How I've Timbered a Bone Supplies 1840 podcast. Today I'm joined by a guest who I've known my entire life, footballer Will Boyle, but most importantly, my twin brother. This episode on paper isn't traditionally what we would do, it's not the merchanting sector, but it's an opportunity that we thought we'd take advantage of. So, briefly, would you like to introduce yourself, Will?
William Boyle, Danielle's twin brother. And footballer currently for Wrexham Football Club.
Nice.
Is that brief enough?
Yes. Yeah. So, with you being a footballer and this being a building merchant podcast, it is quite easy to kind of dissect into making it in a sports podcast episode, talk about all things football. But knowing you and knowing everything that you've done within your career, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to focus it around sort of learning outside of your trade. Similar to the building and the merchanting sector, and after hearing stories from previous guests that have been with the business for a long time, to be a footballer, you tend to start young. So you'll go straight from school, straight into scholarships, football, and you'll just do that career for the kind of the rest of your life up until obviously it comes to an end. And it's kind of similar to the building sector as a sense where people would start off as a, say they did like bricklaying at school, at college, and then they'll then just be a bricklayer. So it's, I know the complete contrast, but the career path is quite similar in terms of you don't branch out, you don't go to uni, all that stuff. Firstly, before we dive into that, let's just kind of address the elephant in the room and talk about football. So when I spoke to Paul, kind of given the plan of the episode, he was like, where's the football? Where's it? Like, that's a bit that he was like really excited to learn about because not many people have professional footballers within their kind of circle to kind of tick that box.
Yep.
Briefly tell us kind of like, or just tell us your footballing career, where you started to sort of where you are now.
Yeah, I'll try and keep it brief again.
That's all right, you can explain.
So I started at Huddersfield in the academy, as you well know.
Yeah.
At 15, got a scholarship at Huddersfield, so I left school, did a two-year scholarship, signed a professional contract. Went out on various loans, Macclesfield Town, York City, Kilmarnock, and the first one, Kidderminster. So I sort of sampled different levels of football as a young professional. Ended up doing 3 years as a professional at Huddersfield, making a couple of appearances off the bench. And then before then, going down and really kick-starting my career, joining Cheltenham Town in League Two. And I ended up spending the best part of 6 years, 5.5 years down there. Loved it. It was a really sort of special place for me and my now wife, Sian. As you know, we loved it down there. And then spent that time down there playing. Ended up coming back up to Huddersfield, where I started in the academy. Huddersfield re-signed me. 3 years ago now it would be, I think. I had a season with Huddersfield before then moving on to Wrexham, where I spent the last two seasons there now. So yeah, that's it in as brief a way as I can go.
Trying to sum up 10, 11 years into one sentence.
Yeah.
You are at Wrexham. That's kind of, I think everybody knows now that club is such a high profile club. There's so much to it. And I think when the opportunity arose for you to kind of go there, it was kind of a no-brainer. You've spoke about the setup and kind of like the opportunities there. But obviously, what is it like to be kind of managed by two Hollywood stars? Like, I know that when I, from my like background, like when you joined, you are quite away, you don't watch much TV you kind of focus on your game and the focus on your career and you don't let a lot of distractions kind of come in. But when I found out that you were signing, I was like, oh my God, Ryan Reynolds. I was like, kind of meet him. I wanted to meet him. But how, obviously you've gone from Cheltenham, which you was very much feet under the table there. You was captain for years. Mm. It was such a great community club. How do you then transition to then going from League Two, small budget, small club, to then having been owned by Rob and Ryan, who are Hollywood stars?
Yeah, it's like I said, it was interesting. I was going back from where I'd gone to Huddersfield, who were in the Championship at the time. So I was going back from level-wise, Championship back down to League Two, where I'd spent quite a lot of years with Cheltenham, but in a really different capacity. Obviously, there was a lot of noise, still isn't a lot of noise around the club because of the sort of Hollywood ownership, shall we say.
Yeah.
But it's been an amazing experience. And I think the biggest thing is, you touched on it there, being managed by, they obviously own the club.
Mm.
But I think people have said it before in the past, and I can only echo it, that probably the biggest testament I can give to them is that they haven't tried to manage the football.
Yeah.
They've left that to Phil Parkinson, who has done like an amazing job, unprecedented achievement to get back-to-back-to-back promotions. And that'll, I'd imagine that'll stand the test of time for quite a long time, that achievement.
Well, history.
Well, it is, and I don't imagine anytime soon that'll change. And anyone will join that club. But that is the biggest thing. And obviously, they're just good people. Everything, every time I've experienced being around them and the experiences that I've shared with the group, what they've brought, have been just genuine, authentic people, really, trying to grow a community and help a club. And they've done that successfully already. And it's interesting, exciting to see how the journey develops, because it's been a whirlwind for people who have been involved in it longer than me.
Yeah.
And to have been a part of it has been fun, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities and a lot of benefits.
Yeah,
outside
obviously,
of football.
The football side's brilliant. Like,
yeah,
the success on the pitch is the main thing as a player that every player wants to achieve. Personally, football-wise, hasn't gone as I would have planned for various reasons. But the opportunities, like you just touched on there, off the pitch, the cup tours in pre-season, I joined, and I think a day or two later, we went on the best part of a two-week pre-season around America. East Coast to West Coast, back to East Coast. It was just, so I'd never been to America. And then within the last 2 years, I think I've been to about best part of 10 different states now.
Yeah.
With two tours, couple of trips to Vegas, me and Sharma went on holiday together to Miami and stuff. So it's, from an experience perspective, it's been unbelievable, really.
Opened the horizons.
Yeah.
On the pitch, it might not have gone exactly how you'd planned. But how does then having cameras, so going, I think any job or any, I feel like I'd be the same if I come to work every single day and I've got a camera in my face, and you have bad days, you have good days. But how do you deal with that? Having like you're in the changing room, you've just had like maybe a bad game or like a bad decision, and you've just got a camera stuck in your face, like, can we film you? Like, that must be challenging.
Yeah, the manager's brilliant at making you well aware of what it's like coming in. I think they set the tone. They understand that it's got to happen, that they're well aware that there's no sort of playing up to the cameras. Within a couple of weeks or months, it becomes sort of normal, like most things do.
Reality TV show.
yeah, not far off, but like, the camera crew and the team are like brilliant. They're almost as much a part of the club and the squad. Well, they are a part of the club and the squad.
Because they're always there, like your coaching staff and all that stuff.
Literally. So you do develop personal relationships with them, which is really nice as well, to get to meet people from different industries and who are working at the same time as you doing their role. It's interesting.
Yes.
I found it interesting anyway. So it's quickly becomes normalised. It is, at first, it is a bit like, what's going on here? And there is moments where I've been, for example, being sent off, obviously upset, angry, in the changing room, and then a camera pops round the door and he's like, are we okay to film this?
Yeah.
And that's a bit surreal, where I'm like, it broke the ice, all right, because I was sat in there fuming and sort of annoyed, angry, upset, all of the emotions, and then all of a sudden it's like, Jesus. So it brings a bit of perspective almost.
I suppose you say that, like, whereas obviously we're twins, I've been through sort of every step of your footballing career, and when that was that moment where kind of it's in the changing room, was on obviously on Disney on the telly, that was the first time I'd seen that aspect. Yeah. And that was kind of me like, wow, like this is, I've been with you throughout. And I'm like, oh my God, like I've never seen this kind of, and it made me feel a bit vulnerable because I'm like, just like you've what have seen me in my career when I get stressed or if I have kind of like a tough moment, but me seeing you in that kind of environment is kind of surreal. Obviously, Wrexham is such a high-profile club, but it is, compared to your, like, your Man City's, like, your Man United's, it's way at the kind of bottom end of the scale. Obviously, I think the advantage, the goal is to try and get to that, but that comes with a lot of time and a lot of money.
Yeah.
How do you deal with, like, the pressure going from, obviously, we spoke about Cheltenham, you was the captain at Cheltenham for years, and there was pressure, because obviously it's a every football club is their own kind of unit.
Mm.
But then you go to Wrexham where there's so many eyes on you, but that you are still a League Two football player. How do you deal with kind of that pressure? Like, do you have any club mechanisms? Like, is anything that the club kind of give you or anything like that?
Not really. I wouldn't say so. I just think it's sort of, even a lower league footballer, growing up, you quickly get used to having to speak to people, speak to the media, do interviews or meet people, be that fans. And I love it. I love meeting people and learning about their story as much as people had learned about, as much as fans, for example, might love learning about a player's story.
Yeah.
So for me, it's nice. I actually enjoy it to get them opportunities. But I think one thing that has helped is sort of the characters and the players that the manager has recruited, because he recruits good people ultimately, and then that then forms a unity, that a togetherness that makes it enjoyable to go to work. So then everything sort of, when you're enjoying it, you crack on and you sort of, whatever you need to deal with, you do almost.
It's kind of like, it's like your teammates are kind of like, at that time, your family.
Yeah.
I suppose it's kind of, I know it's stark opposite in a building merchant, but the 36 branches that we have are all 36 individual little family units.
Yeah, I can imagine,
They live kind of, they go to the same Monday to Saturday most weeks, and they're there all the time, and you have to get along with your kind of teammates and your colleagues to have that kind of, that bond. And I suppose it, even though football is kind of a sector where people come and people go quite quickly, you do have to have that sort of morale. And I suppose it's kind of like the adapting to sort of change. Like, the way that I kind of would compare moving clubs is, in the merchanting sector, we have a lot of kind of competitors, and it's kind of like a kind of tight circle, and people do hop from merchant to merchant, but it's kind of like hopping from club to club. In my kind of job, like, I would go to a different industry, but in the if you work on the counter or you work in the yard, or you would just kind of go from merchant to merchant and see where the best opportunity arises, may even go competitor, a rival competitor, like you, like people potentially will go rival clubs.
If that's your trade, then you stick to that, and there's only a certain amount of merchants, I'd imagine. So
yes.
Then
if one pops up in an area, people might go, kind of see what the best opportunity is.
There is a lot of crossover there to football, like you say.
The reason why I kind of, obviously I've known what you've, how your career has gone and what you've kind of done and dabbled in, which is kind of why a good opportunity that I kind of want to talk about switching up trades or learning skills that are outside of your trade. Mm-hmm. So if you, as I say, like before you're 16, you go to your scholarship.
Yeah.
Did you do college? Is it a college course, your scholarship? Like education?
BTEC is the... and
that,
what's
that, is it in football?
Sport, BTEC Sport, level 3 in BTEC Sport.
So you would then, instead of, so when I left school, I went to college, did art. When you left school, you went into Huddersfield and did BTEC Sport as well as then football on the side. Kind of like an apprenticeship.
Well, I couldn't do art, could I? Because no. Failed it, as you well know.
I got the creative schools, you got the football school.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know, I'm not too bad. so you then, your path then is just football. It's...
Yeah.
You grow up, you then try to develop your skills in football, and everything around your life is football.
Mm.
And I suppose I could compare it to a trade. So if you went to college, like I've got a few friends that went to college, they did bricklaying, they now lay bricks, and then they go into sort of the more of the building sector and work for people, and their end goal is to kind of have their own business.
Yeah.
it's kind of similar. You don't branch out into something new, and you might not have the confidence or not have that awareness to go into to new things, or outside of work hours learn new things.
Yeah.
Now, you are a very good example of this because you have done that. Like, there's an array of things that I'll let you talk about that you've done that aren't just going to football, training, going to the gym, going home.
Yeah.
You've obviously done like courses, like coaching courses, like you've done like obviously the Open University degree. Mm. Why, what, if you want to explain kind of what you've done and what appealed you to kind of go off and do that stuff?
So yeah, I'll give myself a big pat on the back and start by listing what I've done, shall I?
Yeah, go for it.
So yeah, I did an Open University undergraduate degree in business management, which took me 6 years part-time. Albeit part-time is probably half of the year, so it's not as drastic as it sounds.
I don't know though. You say part-time, but I think at the time I was probably doing a full-time degree, and the coursework is still... it's still there.
Oh, you have to do the work, don't you?
Yeah,
it is. But I mean, when I say 6 years, people think, whew.
Yes.
Whereas it's 6 years, it's probably 8 months of the year max.
Yeah.
Studying almost. So you do have like long breaks and stuff like normal university. But yeah, sorry, I'm waffling on that. Oh. So I've done that. I've done my coaching badges, B license, A license. Also done a counselling course quite recently with a PFA, level two in counselling, which was something I really, a bit left field for me almost, but really sort of resonated with and enjoyed. And then from an educational perspective there, what I've been doing, why I started was I had a bit of a nudge through school and the college BTEC level 3 as a scholar. I was sort of your normal student, just not engaged, sort of did the bare minimum, like just wanted to play football. Like I think most lads at that age and girls, I'd imagine, would probably be similar when you've got something that you're so passionate about. So, yeah, it was. I didn't really have any sort of real academic, strong academic background, as you know. But then I had a bit of a nudge from Sian's mum to say, when I was going on loan to Kilmarnock in Scotland, saying you're going to have a lot of time. She noticed that I'd shown a bit of an interest in business and stuff like that. And she was like, have you not... would you consider doing like some sort of studying, like Open University degrees through the PFA? Then I've spoke, went to a like take control workshop that they ran. There was about 9 players there, maybe less. I was 19 at the time, I think, and the rest were like 35. And they were all saying, just do something now, because they're all 35 coming towards the end, thinking, what am I going to do? Got families, got like responsibilities. They said, just start something now. So I was like, I don't think all of these guys can be wrong. I think I've got to heed their advice here.
Yeah.
So I just enrolled, worked out nicely. I went along to Scotland and then I'd stumbled my way through the first few years of it. No real sort of like studying pattern or anything. No real like skills. Didn't know how to do it. Just stumbled my way through and then ended up finishing that. And from there, the biggest thing it's taught me and what I've took from it is like I now know that I really enjoy the process of learning. So that's the biggest thing that it's allowed me to sort of understand about myself and move forward with. So that's the biggest thing I take away and the most why I'm most grateful for doing them, really. They hopefully will in the future pay dividends, but right now I'm still focused on football and learning around football and learning about myself to help me be a better player still.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's sort of where I've been at with it.
You talk about like learning yourself and you had no way of, or no skills, say, to know how to sit down and prioritise your day to sort of get your education in terms of the higher education.
Which I guess will, what you spoke about earlier, will resonate with probably a lot of tradespeople who have been doing that for however long, 5 years, 10 years, 15, some 20, maybe longer.
Yeah.
Of, I don't know anything else. That was me. And I know it was tough. Like there was times where I was like, what am I doing this for? Like, I don't need to do this. Like,
yeah.
But how rewarding it has been. Like I couldn't sort of recommend people do it enough because for me, it's been so powerful.
And it puts you instead for, like you say, like, the career that you have can end at any point. You could get injured, touch wood that you don't. But it could be this, if you kind of say that your job was, I keep relating to a joiner, but if you then damage your hand and you can no longer work, you're kind of back to square one a bit, where if you haven't learned any of the skills, you kind of stuck. Like, what do you do? Yeah. How do you then get that motivation, as say if you're 30 odd and you kind of got a family to look after and you've got a mortgage, and you then have to find a way to earn money that isn't in the school that you've learned to be in, which is kind of similar to yourself. I know that statistically, like, when people think of a footballer's lifestyle, they think like designer clothes, like flash cars, like all this money in the world, but realistically that isn't actually the case in the vast majority of things.
No.
People can go from earning a decent living to then in the blink of an eye not earning that, and then you have to build that lifestyle. You've had a lifestyle built around the money you earn, to then going back to nothing. And it's, how did you get your mindset to do that, to learn? Like, we come from a very working class background where our parents don't have higher education. Maybe, I don't even think my dad's got a GCSE, but he's hands-on. He kind of, he's worked his way through his life and he's got us to where we are.
Yeah.
How did you then knock that, I would say pride, because you're 19, you've gone on loan in Scotland and you're going to be a footballer. All my friends have to go 9-to-5 jobs, or like they're doing this, whereas I'm a footballer and they haven't said this, or I think this, but I'm superior, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you knock that pride out of yourself to go into a counselling course or go in learning stuff? So for reference, the PFA is the Players Football Association.
Yeah, the Professional Footballers Association. Yeah.
Which is where all professional footballers kind of... Is it kind of like a union?
It's our trade union.
Yeah, so that gives them kind of support, mentally, physically, kind of all that stuff that would get for being in that job role. So they obviously give you quite a few opportunities. Like you say, they've led you to the counselling course and all that. But yeah, how do you kind of knock that pride out of you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, I love having the nature-nurture debate with people around whether you're born with certain attributes or like you can develop them. But I don't know, I've always been open-minded. Mm-hmm. I think from a young age, I've always naturally been that way inclined. I think that's one of the biggest attributes that I was maybe born with, maybe not, maybe developed. But then that's allowed me to go into things with a approach of wanting to learn. I'm just quite a curious person in general, really, around psychology, life, social psychology and stuff like that. It all fascinates me. So I don't really know, to be honest. I've never really had massive pride or ego. I don't take myself too seriously. I'd like to think, again, without blowing my own trumpet.
But. Do you find that you're kind of one in a minority in that field, or do you feel like, well, you say when you was 19 and you was around 35 year olds telling you to do it, do you find now that, like, we're not 35 but we're almost 30, that you're finding more young ones coming into it? And
I've been a part of the PFA's board
just now, to mention that,
so like representing players who got voted on by professional players to represent them, which is like a real sort of privilege and honour to be in that role.
What was the process of that?
It was a application. Any player, professional player, can apply, and then you're voted on by other professional players. So everyone gets a vote.
In the league that you are based in?
There's two representatives from each professional league, from the Premier League, the Women's Super League, down to League Two.
Okay.
And then there's three ex-players who were voted onto the board to make up the sort of the board to represent the players. That we were having them conversations quite recently around sort of people changing, like sort of young players for us, for example, being different to what I was at 19, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And like taking information on differently, having a different life because of the experience that they have, the advances in technology, etc.
Or disadvantages, some of them.
well, sorry, I said advances, but the disadvantages advantages of technology, like you say.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. I think there's a lot more opportunity, and I think a lot more people are willing to take it on, because in football, and probably 10 years ago and even longer, I'd imagine it were worse, it was quite frowned upon, and it could be like, what are you doing that for? Why focus on your football? From like coaches, for example, or like people outside. He's in the mass media spoke about how people say he needs to focus on his football, not worry about that.
Mm.
But for me, I know from my own journey, I know that it has helped me with my football. Having another focus and having something else that has broadened my horizons has helped me sort of, when I was younger, I might have put a bit too much pressure on football and on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now I know actually it's not the be all and end all. There's a big wide world going on out there. So to help me see that has definitely helped me, my football progress. I know. So I hope that it can almost... I don't want to say it because it sounds a bit slightly big-headed, but can sort of help other people see that it's a positive thing. It can be a positive thing. And for example, in tradespeople, they can be exactly the same. You don't. Some people love it and won't want to do anything else, I'm sure. But other people might have other interests as well, and they can find ways of hopefully sort of participating in that, or like finding more out about things.
Yeah. I suppose football is an old school industry.
Mm.
Like traditionally, statistically, like it's changing with times. Like you say, the young players are coming through and like they're having more kind of technical and technology kind of inputs to their game. Like the little things that you wear,
sports bras
that I keep saying, that track you, how far that you run on an average game, and looking at that, you think, what? Whereas they used to put 11 balls back in the day. It was, there's a lot more in it, but it's still kind of that old school kind of approach. And it's kind of, I work in an old school industry. The building sector is old school. We are coming into terms and into the new times with the younger trade generation.
Yeah.
So like even talks of like social media, how can that benefit businesses?
Mm.
Whereas, say a 50-year-old maybe landscaper that has always got business from marketing through word of mouth might not see the benefit of social media.
It's hands-on activity, isn't it? It's physical kind of work. It's like putting your mind and your hands to do something, to fix something or to like make something. So it's rather than having to think and develop something, it is, well, obviously you are thinking to do it, but to like strategize or plan, like you say there, so you can understand why that is secondary.
Yeah.
I completely understand that.
There's the pros and the cons of kind of that younger generation coming through. Like, the England team, I think half, what's the average age of them? They're quite young now. And this kind of social media age of the publicity that they get and the tarnish and the negative comments, it's a whole another conversation. But,
Could open a can of worms.
You could open a can of worms, but it's kind of like that adapting with the change, and I think the footballing industry is adapting and it's moving in that direction just as the same as then
parallels
the building sector. The complete opposite, but the interest in the predominantly kind of still statistically male industries. I think obviously the women's game is really kind of developing and really stepping up, and just in the same as women in merchanting, like I think my last episode was around women in merchanting and how the female input kind of is becoming more prominent. So it's just kind of on that kind of on that journey, which I think is good. We've kind of explained what you have done. So you've obviously got all these opportunities. You did the degree in sports and business management.
Mm.
What have you now just got? What's your coaching badge that you've just achieved?
A license.
So what does that mean? What is the only one more then that would be?
Yeah, there's a UEFA Pro license, but that is for like a lot of the time for like managers or like aspiring managers. That's the sort of top level of coaching badge that you can achieve.
Got you. What do you think? I don't know if I feel like I might have asked you, but what do you think kind of like the benefits of putting yourself in them situations. So you can go to work, you can do your job, you can come home, but then putting yourself outside of that box and in a situation that you're not traditionally been in or used to being in, what would you say the benefits of doing that are?
Well, like you say there, it is, to start with, it is outside. A lot of the things I've done have been outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And outside of stuff that I'm used to doing and feel like I might be capable of doing. So from that perspective, it's definitely created like a resilience where I've got a lot of things wrong. I will continue to, but I won't sort of let that stop me sort of and blunt that curiosity to want to try learn more things and do extra things. And then the biggest thing is probably, like I said, develop that learning, and that's so powerful now that, like, so rewarding for me that being on the process of learning can be sort of so fulfilling. And also just broadening my perspective and sort of horizon of, because football is a bubble. You can be stuck in football, like nothing else matters. You can sort of, because it is like a brilliant sport. And at times it can be a tough industry. But yeah, so that's probably the biggest things it's brought me, really, I think, and more experience, life experiences.
Yes.
To create more memories, to have a more sort of fulfilled life without being too philosophical about it. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because as I say, we're twins, so we've done that same journey through, went to obviously same school, kind of, until we got to the age where you went off to play football.
Yeah.
Which is a very rare opportunity for most kind of most people, whereas I followed the path of college, university, like part-time jobs, just to kind of get into the...
But that was different from our background as well. You were the first person to go to university that we know of within our immediate family and achieve a degree. So that wasn't the path that had been trodden before from what we'd seen, was it, really?
Yeah, there's so many different kind of avenues, isn't there, that the kind of life goes by. But I will quickly mention, you talk about you are a keen learner, you like to learn things about people, and you do take, I think, because obviously you play a sport which is the probably biggest sport in the world, or especially in the, like, there's so much kind of interest and money in it. People really care about that, and they care about what you do and who you are. But you like to, you're still a human being that will care about what other people do. So you ask what people have been up to, and what sticks in my mind is, I think when, the season before, when Wrexham got promoted and we were all there, and you just took the camera off the photographer and you're just going around taking pictures. Like, it's something so minor, but you're taking an interest in somebody else's avenue, and you're such a keen learner.
I think they have developed from doing different things and seeing, and then that's then grown and grown to be like, actually, like, I'm interested in this, I'm interested in that. That fascinates me. Yeah. And like you say, the nature nurture debate, I might just be like that.
Yeah.
But I know it's definitely grown from seeing different things and trying different things.
Yeah. It's like, I suppose it's kind of, the purpose is to inspire. If you work, so we've had people working in the merchants that have been around for 40 years, I say, and they may start in the yard. And I think Paul, our commercial director, started in the yard, and now he's our commercial director, and it's kind of worked the way up. And it's just, the whole purpose was to kind of bring a different outlook to that same journey. It's just on a different path.
Yeah, it does. I don't sit too well with me saying I could be an inspiration almost.
No.
But I do see what you mean, to see if you look at someone else's journey and you're like, oh, well, they're saying how much this has helped them doing different things.
Yeah.
Like, it would be nice. I'd be really sort of proud and grateful if there's, well, I won't find out, but if to think that actually it triggers people to think, oh, I'm quite interested in that. I might look into that more. And then it leads to sort of opening other avenues in people's lives, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. There's so much, like, opportunity in diplomas, or kind of going, what I'd say, outside to inside. So you work outside, then you go inside, you sell on the counter, and it's that personal skills where traditionally a footballer might not need personnel skills, but the media, you need to know how to speak to fans or say the right thing and not upset people.
And I wouldn't even, like, I completely agree with what you said there. And I'd even say, to add to that, that it doesn't have to be career perspective.
No.
It can be, like, for me, I've found, like, since going through the learning process, I love reading. That's probably my favourite hobby.
Yeah.
So, and that gives me such a, especially in a time of sort of when mental well-being and mental health is so sort of spoke about, rightly mm-hmm. so, it gives me a sense of like sort of mindfulness and stillness of mind, which is really sort of, which is brilliant for me, which I love that. And I need that sort of escapism as such. Mm-hmm. We talk about me not really being massive into film and TV. It is more books really.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, that's powerful for me as well. So like some of my mates might like fishing, something that, do you know what I mean? Something mm. that you have where it's your time
yeah.
to sort of look after your own mental well-being.
Yeah, that's important to have something outside of the day job
yeah.
such and that hobby and the interest that might not necessarily be a career.
Well, you know, you can go to that and come yeah. back feeling refreshed. A lot of people go out for like a long run, for example, and say yes. the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Like something, but not everyone likes running. So trying to find stuff that lets your time and you know that refills your cup almost, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do. What would you say are kind of some common barriers or misconceptions of learning stuff that's not career beneficial, say?
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. I should touch on it because it's not all sort of honky-dory.
Yeah.
There has been times where I've been like, what am I doing here? Why have I? It's caused me so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
Getting used to studying, getting used to having to reference. It was all a complete new world to me. And it was, there were times where I was like my mind was just sort of whirling around. I was confused, didn't know what yeah. I was doing. And I'm thinking, is it worth this sort of, is it worth all this hassle almost? I don't want to say like hardship, but like stress,
mm-hmm.
which was me sort of stretching myself a bit, so probably a bit further than I could achieve at that point.
Yeah.
So there's definitely, it's going to come with sort of stress, and you're bringing on stress that you don't necessarily have to have.
Yes.
Stuff like that, really, I'd say probably is the, you've got to be aware going into stuff. If you're going outside your comfort zone and you're trying to learn stuff, it's not going to be easy.
Would you say another one is, you went there and there were 35-year-olds and they're telling you to learn now. Do you think people worry that they're maybe too old to learn something new?
Yes, maybe, potentially.
Do you ever find that in, like, some of your friends that obviously are of retirement age now and they're coming to the point and they're thinking, right, well, I'm coming to the age where my body can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
What do I do after? But they're too scared to jump into
yeah.
that new avenue that isn't football.
And I love podcasts, especially the
1840
podcast. There you go. That's a plug for you. But no, I have listened to quite a few of these and other podcasts. I yeah. won't mention the names. But I've heard quite a lot of people speak about that, how guests might sort of write in and be like, it's okay for them. They've got all the time in the world.
Yes. Yeah.
How do I do it? I've got mortgage to pay. I've got four kids. I've got,
yeah, yeah.
I've got a job, full-time job. And I completely understand mm-hmm. it's like, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when people have the life and responsibility and the chaos of life can sort of stop you from doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's, in my opinion anyway, I think you make time almost. I think we all have the same amount of time technically in a day. And I know people do have more responsibilities than others, and I'm sitting here from like a really privileged position. I've got mm-hmm. a lot more threats.
You do get brought down to earth though.
Yeah.
Our family would bring you back down to earth.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got a lot more spare time to
yes.
it's easy for me to sit here and say, do this, do that, because I have the opportunity to do it. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
And other people might not get that luxury in time or opportunity.
Yeah.
So, but I would say if you can make time, find yeah. time almost, if you know what I mean.
I wouldn't give yourself too much credit, that's my word. You say you have all the time in the world, but from a perspective of someone who's a family member of a footballer, you don't have that much time in the world.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot more time than a lot of other people, and I can definitely waste a lot of time.
Yes, you can, but there's a lot more goes to it than 90 minutes
yeah, on
the pitch.
Yeah, I know.
There's travelling and there's logistics and
yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, people who might be further down the line, like getting back to the topic of
mortgage kids,
40 years old, three or four kids, and feel like I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that mind state where it's like, you know that you can do more, and you can you have an interest in something that you would like to develop. It's just, do you have the effort? Trying to change your mental state to say, I can do this, I should do this. Just spend 10 minutes or spend half an hour off your TikTok on like the goals that you want to achieve.
Yeah.
But yeah, more or less at the end now, but I'd kind of want to give you three quick fire questions.
Okay.
Who is the best player you've played with or against?
Probably Phil Foden.
Oh, when you played
in the FA Cup versus Man City. Yeah.
And it was a COVID, so we couldn't come down, so to watch on the telly.
Yeah. That and we were painful. Winning 1-0 until the 80th minute. And we thought this could be one of the biggest upsets ever. And then before you know it, 10 minutes later, we've lost 3-1. So.
Do you think if there were fans there, it might have been a bit different?
Because
it was an empty stadium, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not, like Cheltenham's not the biggest stadium, so you fill it up and there'll be some noise in there.
Maybe, who knows? We'll never know, will we?
Yeah.
So, but that was quite quick fire for me, actually. I'm not.
It was, yeah.
Fire.
I was a bit concerned about your like brain process. Outside of football, if you was to pick any trade skill to have, what would it be? So I know you've been doing some kind of, you've been doing some garden work, or Shan is very much, your wife is the DIYer. She's done your entire house and she's a solicitor, so it's not her day job neither.
No.
But if you were to kind of be an expert at one trade, what would it be?
I like joinery, I think. I think it'd probably be joinery. But like you say, that is a...
You'd have the time and the patience for that.
Yes. At time and patience tick. I don't know if I'd have the required skill level, to be fair, to get there. Because like we say, learning, going back to it, I don't want to make these quick fire questions long. But like, I've tried with DIY, you know, you and Sean are sort of streets ahead of me. You pick things up. I struggle to use a drill properly still now.
Yeah.
I think there is things that fit more naturally with you. And for me, DIY doesn't work. So I'll leave that to you and Sean.
Everyone's skill sets are different as well. And everyone's kind of work styles and...
But joinery, I do quite styles. Like the sort of appreciate their trade.
Yeah, nice. And then lastly, if you wasn't a footballer, what do you think you'd be?
I don't really know. I'd say that changed from day to day, to be honest.
Okay, what would you want to be today?
Today? Good question. Maybe an entrepreneur. I know that's quite sort of...
Very broad.
Very broad, yeah. But I've been sort of around some founders recently of like sort of...
Small businesses,
yeah. And I found that a really interesting sort of environment, really. So, yeah.
That's
so
really. Kind of skill of all trades. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for sitting and speaking. I know it's kind of a different one to what the 1840 podcast is normally around, but it's a good opportunity to have you kind of out of season, sit down and speak about things that isn't necessarily merchant related, but isn't necessarily football related. It's kind of... Yeah. It's how do you personally kind of deal with learning things that isn't necessarily a day job?
Yeah.
But yeah. So thank you everybody for listening and watching. Make sure that you like and subscribe and keep your eyes open for the next episode of the 1840 podcast. Thank you.